joy like you really have it. And if you're wondering what is the source of that, then this message is going to talk a little more about that. And before we open God's Word together, I just want to give a shout out to those in the FLC. Maybe you didn't get a seat here, but you got a seat with the Lord. And we're so glad you're here with us. And we can worship Jesus together this evening. So welcome to all of you who are in our other venue as well there. We're going to look at God's Word together. And as we begin, I want to ask you to think about a great gift, a truly great gift that you've maybe given or received. A great gift, a truly great gift, does not just have one quality of greatness. It's got a lot of them, right? If it's that clothing item, it's not just the right item. It's the right size and style and color and all that, right? If it's a technological device, it's not just the one you want. It's got all the right accessories and all that stuff. If it's some kind of a tool, it's not just the right tool, but probably even at the right price to really be a great gift, right? So when we think of the greatest gift, the gift of God the Son sent, God the Father sending God the Son to be born, we've been talking this month about the many multiple blessings of that gift that make it the greatest gift, all the many, many factors of that gift. And if you want to hear a little more about those from the book of Galatians and our series, I invite you to listen on our website to those messages throughout this month. This evening, we're considering just one aspect of the greatest gift ever, the gift of God the Son sent by the Father to be born and all that He brings by His coming. And that aspect we're going to consider tonight is that the Son alone brings true freedom. The Son of God, by His coming, alone brings true freedom. As Paul's writing to the Galatians, there in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, and he's in this book of Galatians contending for the gospel. We've been talking about that this month. He's looking back on that event that we're remembering this evening, and we're celebrating this evening. And he says this, but when the fullness of time had come, that's in the plans and purposes of God, that right moment in human history, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. That is, as a Jewish man who perfectly kept God's commands. The Son, by His coming, brings freedom. Let's look just a few verses later in Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, as Paul's enumerating these many blessings that the Son brings by His coming to believers. One of those he articulates, and we're going to talk about that this evening, is how the Son delivers us from slavery to sonship, to being children of God, is what that means. The Son brings us from bondage to true freedom. He says, so you are no longer a slave, there in Galatians 4, verse 7, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Freedom needs to be added to the list of all those things which are the longings of the human heart that only the gospel of Jesus Christ provides. Peace with God, only the gospel. Purpose in life, only the gospel. Forgiveness from guilt, only the gospel. Values, real values, only the gospel. Relationship, real relationship, only the gospel. Hope in the face of death, only the gospel. Community, genuine community, only the gospel. All the systems of man, all the religions of the world, none of them offer any of those, and none of them offer freedom either. Only the gospel offers true freedom. Now, this is not freedom to do whatever you want. That's just another form of bondage. This is freedom to know God, to worship God, to live, to serve God. Where does that kind of freedom come from? Only the gospel. Only by the Son of God coming to be born, living that perfect life, going to the cross, sacrificing Himself for us, rising triumphant from death. Only that message brings true freedom, or any of those other things we listed. Look at that slide there and consider that child opening that gift and perhaps exclaiming, "This is the best gift ever." And the gospel is that true best gift ever. The gospel, the Son of God come to earth to give himself for us, is that best gift ever. And one of those aspects of that wonderful gift is that only the gospel brings true freedom. That's what we're going to talk a little bit more about tonight. The Son brings freedom. This is what we have through the gospel. We'll talk a little more about that and try to get a better understanding of what kind of freedom this is. The Son brings true freedom, and we stand in it as we stand in the gospel. We continue in it by the gospel. And this freedom is the way we conduct our lives by the gospel. So this is not just a message for how to sort of get into the kingdom of God. This is a message for how we live every day of our life as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The way we conduct our lives is in freedom. This evening's devotional tells how the Son of God came to be born in Bethlehem to secure this freedom. This freedom is found only in him. It comes to those who believe in him. We're going to see why this gospel message is that only way to have true freedom. And we're going to talk about how true believers in Jesus want to live and grow and continue in this kind of freedom. Let's look first at this is what we have through the gospel. By God's grace in the gospel, and we receive this through faith, we are set free from sin's curse. This is the glorious message of Christmas and the coming of Jesus. We are set free from sin's curse. And also by grace through the gospel, as we receive it through faith, we are set free from unseen powers. We're going to talk a little more about that tonight. And the text here clearly speaks of those. Let's look back at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4b through 5. As Paul writes, God the Father sent the Son to be born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. The Son came to redeem from sin. This redemption means that by his coming, his perfect life, his sacrifice on the cross, that atoning death that he gave, the Son sets us free from God's judgment due to us because of our sin. That's the curse of sin. But the Son sets us free from that curse. This is the message of the gospel. Believers who have received Jesus are also set free from unseen powers. The Bible is very clear that the battle that we wage in this world is a battle not just against what we see, but against things that we don't see, against spiritual forces that we do not see, we do not physically, tangibly comprehend. And even in an era of science and microprocessors, I totally believe that demonic forces are rampantly at work in our world. It's not just in primitive cultures. It's in subtle ways all around us. What's behind the craziness that we see in our world and the craziness we often experience in our lives is not just our sin, but is also unseen forces seeking to divert us from God and the glorious freedom Jesus alone gives. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8 speaks of these in the context of that believers have been set free from these by the gospel. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. These are demonic forces, the principalities and powers, the elementary principles of this world, as Galatians 4:3 and Galatians 4:9 speak of them. These are in league with Satan, seeking to destroy and bring destruction upon humanity. There's an illusion that we have as human beings, And I would submit to you that perhaps many here in this room suffer from this illusion, which is a delusion. And I say this in all seriousness and soberness. You think you're free, and you're not. You think you're making choices of your own volition to do what you want to do. You think you're defining life in your own terms, and you're not. You're a slave apart from the gospel. You're a slave to sin, and you're a slave to demonic forces that seek your destruction. Is there hope? Yes. There's hope in the gospel, because the gospel sets us free. So think with me, what's behind the things of our lives? What's behind addiction, anxiety, anger, and the all-about-me attitude? It is slavery. It is slavery. What's behind resentment, racism, pride, devaluing human life? What's behind it? It's bondage to sin. What's behind greed, sick religion, defining self, sexuality, family, gender in ways totally contrary to God's design and calling it enlightened? What is that? It's demonic forces. What's behind the craziness of our world and our culture and the craziness of our lives? It is the schemes of Satan. And what's the answer? It's that Jesus sets us free. It's that he came to bring true freedom. That's what we have through the gospel. And let's consider how we stand then once we have received true freedom through faith in Christ. Sadly, Christmas for many has become something that's been twisted into that which is the opposite of true freedom. Sadly, even Christian churches are peddling a message which is essentially an invitation to return to bondage. So Paul, as he's writing, contending for the gospel, he's writing to professing believers, as many of us are, and he's saying, continue in this freedom. Stand in the gospel. It's Jesus alone that gives true freedom. It's not Jesus plus something on your terms. It's not Jesus plus something that's going to make you look better to others and moralistic religion or whatever it is. It's Jesus alone and faith in him alone by which we stand, by which we live in true freedom. Continue to stand in that. Set free believers must stand in this freedom. We face all kinds of threats, fleshly threats, worldly threats, prideful self-promotion threats, religion, moralism, etc. So what do? We stand in freedom. We stand in the gospel. We continue in it. There is a declaration of our position in Christ of freedom and a charge related to that position in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. As Paul moves from the discussion of all the glorious blessings of the gospel to the charge for believers to live according to them, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this: for freedom Christ has set us free. Why has Christ set us free? For freedom. True freedom. And we have this freedom if we are indeed in Christ, if we are indeed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this freedom. Now what do we do with it? Stand firm, therefore. Stand in it. Stand in it firmly. Stand in it because Christ has given it to you. Continue in this freedom by continuing in faith in Christ and faith in Christ alone is the way we stand right before God, or the way we grow in our relationship with God. Whatever else we are commanded to do as believers, it is not something Jesus plus. It's a part of following Jesus and faith in him. As Paul speaks of this charge and the many threats that we face, he uses some very interesting analogies in the book of Galatians. One of those is the analogy of a runner in a race, sort of running this race of freedom by faith in Christ. And he says, who cut in on you and hindered you from continuing to obey the truth? There are those seeking to cut in on you. Another the analogy uses earlier in Galatians is of spies. You know, there's spies talked about in the Bible, in the New Testament. He talks about those who are secretly coming in and trying to spy on our freedom that we have in Christ, in the gospel. These can be individuals, but those individuals are representing ideas, false teaching, a reality, a misunderstanding of how we should truly live as believers. How do we live as believers? We continue to stand in the gospel, in freedom that we have in Christ. I want you to imagine with me, for purposes of this illustration, that you've been in jail, in prison, for several years. You've been locked up in a cell, in that small little prison cell. That was your world. You couldn't go where you wanted to go because you were stuck in that cell. And then one day, marvelously, you're set free. You're out of prison now. What would be the sense of having been set free from prison, going back to the prison, knocking on the door and saying, hey, will you let me back into my cell? But this is what false teaching serves up. This is what legalism serves up. This is what Jesus plus this serves up. It's serving up an invitation to go back into a prison cell when we've been set free by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And of course, this invitation to go back into prison cell can be all dressed up in religion, as it was there for the Judaizers of the book of Galatians, or it can be all dressed up in worldliness and fleshliness and telling you, yeah, just do what you want, just do what you want. Jesus wants you to just do what you want. In either case, standing in the gospel says, no, I want to stand in freedom. I want to live in this reality of trusting Christ and living for him. As Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 said, now in this freedom I live by faith in the Son of God. I live my life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what freedom looks like. That's what continuing to walk in it looks like. And of course, this then impacts the way we conduct our lives, the way we live. To live in freedom in the right kind of way is not to live for self, not to live for sin. That's the wrong way to use your freedom. The way to live rightly in this freedom is to live for God, to live for God's purposes, God's way. That's how to use your freedom. By faith in Christ, looking to him and his finished work, through the work of his Spirit, we are then to serve one another in love. This is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Wonderful scripture. Wonderful summary of sort of how not to live in the freedom you have and how we should live in the freedom we have. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. That's what it looks like. Are you living as a slave or are you living as a set free son or daughter of the king? Slaves are looking for the opportunity for the flesh. Set free sons and daughters of the king are by the Spirit looking for opportunities to serve and to love. This, then, is the charge of the way we conduct our life because of the gospel, by the gospel. The Son brings freedom. We have it through the gospel. We stand and continue in it in the gospel. It's the way we conduct our lives by the gospel. If you're here tonight and you don't know that freedom that only the gospel brings, I want to invite you to receive it. You maybe thought you were just coming to have a Christmas Eve service. As I said at the beginning, I hope that perhaps this is the beginning of a whole different kind of life for you by a personal response to him. And you know, for many of us, we've received that freedom. I hope tonight is a reminder of the way this freedom calls us to stand in it as we continue to look to Jesus, and to walk in it as we continue to look to Jesus. The candle we're going to light tonight is sort of an illustration of everyone's life. It doesn't have light right now. But by the end of this next segment, as we're singing Silent Night, by the time we get to the second or third verse, that light of yours is going to be lit. Now, how does the light of your life truly get lit? How do you get the freedom, true freedom, the sun brings? Well, the sun has come, and this light in many ways represents the reality of the truth that he brings freedom. By a personal response of faith in him, of bowing down before him, acknowledging my need for him, and saying, I need the Savior, we receive freedom. So turn to him. He is the light. Take him by faith. He gives freedom. And if you have turned to him and received him, then treasure him. Let him shine and shine for him as you continue in this freedom. And of course, this freedom is a life of telling others about him. It's about teaming up with God's people and spreading the word and sharing that serving others through love kind of ministry to one another and to others. So let's look at the candle. I invite you to take yours, if you will. This illustrates turning, taking him by faith, shining as believers, treasuring him, telling others about him. If you have yet to receive Jesus, the Savior, the light, the one who brings freedom, by faith turn to him to be set free. And if you have, if you know Jesus, then use your freedom to glorify him, to spread his light, to continue in it to the glory of his name. My prayer tonight is that this is not just a great way to end our Christmas Eve service, but that it illustrates the profound reality of your life. Through him, you have freedom. And in that freedom, you want to shine for him as you trust him and seek to glorify him. Jim and the team behind me are going to lead us. We're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to spread this light